T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
KC Johnson.
Come and get some of this.
Bulls basketball.
Whoa! Stop it! Stop it! Did not do him like that!
Taking you inside the locker room with KC Johnson.
Oh my goodness! Did you not get the memo?
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. KC Johnson joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. He is, of course, the basketball man from the Chicago Tribune. Good morning, KC. How are you?
Good morning, KC.
What's going on, guys? How you been?
Well, you know, we've been talking about Kevin Durant a little bit. I don't know if you're following, but he suffered an injury. And I understand there is this sort of desire to play the blame game. You know, I heard Charles Barkley say they should never have let him on the court. It was, you know, the Warriors really let him down. And, you know, I think if he hadn't played in that game and they had been eliminated, we would have said, wow, he let his teammates down. And so it's weird because we had callers yesterday talking about the Derrick Rose thing and how you assign whether a player should play. And then if he does and he gets hurt again, you know, are you allowed to be mad at him because he doesn't want to play then? It just brings up all these sort of bad memories in Chicago.
No doubt. That's where my mind went to. You know, I saw Steve Kerr say, you know, incredible win, but also incredible loss. And that, to me, reminded me of Kyle Korver calling that game one of the 2012 NBA playoffs the saddest win ever when Derek went down. So, the situations aren't entirely analogous because, you know, Derek's the uproar over Derek's situation occurred after his injury, right, whereas, you know, the uproar with Kevin, which was much more mild, happened before his injury. Where they're similar to me is I just never get where people question an athlete's desire to play. I mean, you guys have all been around pro sports a long time, been in a lot of locker rooms like myself. If people understood how much these guys cared, I think sometimes when money and the amount of money that gets into play, some people may have a different view of that, but the majority of people that you're around, this is their livelihood. This is a lot of times their escape. This is what helped them maybe rise up from difficult backgrounds or situations. And these guys love the game and love to play. And I know that intimately firsthand from Derek being around him, how much the game meant to him, how much he loved playing the game of basketball. And I've only been around Durant in group situations, but from all accounts from his teammates, he feels similarly. So yeah, it's a fascinating story, very sad story, and it's certainly interesting to talk about.
And we think about it, Derrick Rose in Chicago, because obviously we live here and we covered that story, KC, and there were different, you know, agendas being served yesterday when kind of regurgitating the Derrick Rose saga and all that. But you know, Kawhi Leonard went through a similar situation, not certainly to the degree that he didn't pop his Achilles, but he had injuries that people questioned whether or not he wanted to play last year. This happens in the NBA, and I think Jalen Rose really was pretty eloquent when he talked about the culture that's created, whether it's fans, whether it's media, that maybe it compelled Kevin Durant to want to play, to feel like he had to play to prove something at some point, and that's pretty powerful as well. And those are all factors to consider when, you know, assigning blame or, you know, wondering who is most responsible, when in fact, you know, sometimes injuries happen. Sports, it's very difficult to process a lot of layers to get to just because everybody wants a simple answer and there really isn't one.
Right. And I agree with you, David, that Jalen, to me, was very eloquent. I thought the pound of flesh theory that he was talking about, where, you know, certain people sometimes kind of almost want to see guys gut through an injury or women gut through an injury to prove their mettle or prove their toughness or what have you. I do think one thing that's getting a little bit lost here, and, you know, you're right, there is a rush in this day and age to assign blame, but, you know, obviously we've only heard from Bob Myers that it was a collaborative decision, but I also cannot believe that Kevin Durant isn't out there if Kevin Durant doesn't want to be out there or doesn't think he can be out there, you know? So I would take that comment from Bob Myers at face value. I think I think there is probably some truth to that. And you know, whereas maybe Kevin felt some pressure from the outside or from his teammates, I don't know. I do know that, you know, again, I come back to this. Athletes at the end of the day want to be out there. It's a game they love. They're playing it at the highest level on the biggest stage. They also feel an obligation to teammates. And that's where I've just never understood people's, questioning. Two things I personally have learned to do in this business. I don't question injury much. I mean, sure, you can have a certain level of skepticism to it, but any athlete knows his or her body the best, okay? And I just, at this stage of my career, if a guy says he's hurt or a woman says she's hurt and can't go, you know, there you go. I mean, that's kind of where you're at. And in this situation, that to me is where this situation rings true to the Derek situation. I know Derek went through a lot in the 12-13 season where people questioned that, just like people questioned Kawhi's decision to take the route he took last year. Seems like it's worked out pretty well for Kawhi. He took a lot of heat in San Antonio, just like Derek took a lot of heat here in Chicago. Derek's situation didn't work out as well, because then he obviously had the meniscus tear when he came back in 13. But, you know, for someone who was around that 12-13 season, you know, Derek withstood a lot of heat and scrutiny for his decision, but it's one that he, to this day, feels comfortable with.
How does this change the landscape of free agency, Casey? Because obviously a lot of teams were lining up trying to get Kevin Durant, and now he apparently will be off the market. It looks like he'll probably opt in for the final year of his contract and stay and rehab, and I don't know. Maybe he's more likely to return to Golden State. Maybe he opts out and ends up going somewhere else. No one knows his mind.
Well, it certainly was a day where you heard a lot of theories, and I talked to a lot of people around the league yesterday, and everyone kind of had their own opinion. I mean, there was even some speculation that, you know, Golden State would offer him proactively a 5-year max. So it was almost like an apology for what happened. I mean, you heard the gamut. You heard some people saying that the Knicks would still max him out and let him rehab on their dime next year. So you don't know. I mean, the silence yesterday obviously was large. You know, obviously the Golden State, you know, want to get this story right and this diagnosis right. Everyone's assuming that he's going to be out 8 to 12 months with a torn Achilles, but, you know, that's not official yet. I mean, it certainly throws a huge wrench into what everybody expected to be a pretty crazy summer. It still will be, just, you know, the top domino is going through a situation that nobody wants to see. You can say what you want. I mean, that league-wide whispering and chattering has been persistent and strong all season that he was going to the Knicks. So, I mean, does he opt in now on the 31-5 and rehab with Golden State? We'll see. That's certainly, you know, the guess that I would probably come to, but we're all just guessing at this point.
By the way, Casey, there's an NBA title still to be decided.
Yeah.
Game 6 goes back to Oakland. And while a lot of people believe that without Kevin Durant and given what the Warriors have been through, they're spent, they're exhausted, there's no way they can win two more games, especially if they have to close it out in Toronto. What do you think?
Well, I think that closing run in Game 5 shows it's kind of foolish to challenge the heart and resiliency of a champion. That said, you know, we all saw what we saw in those first four games, and without Durant, I think Toronto's defense and their depth and really the way that some of their role players have played this series past Leonard's ridiculousness, I would still probably put my money on the Raptors closing this out. Whether that's 6, whether that's 7, I don't know. But you know, Siakam's played at an incredibly high level. Van Vliet's given them nice shooting. You know, Gasol and Ibaka have formed a nice 1-2 punch up front. with their staggered minutes. So, you know, I just here's the thing. Other thing about Golden State, whether you know Durant affects him, losing Durant obviously affects him hugely, but they've weathered the storm without Durant before. What I've seen that's different to me, that's uncharacteristic of Golden State, is some incredible defensive lapses and also a lot of struggles with ball security. They to me, just made some really silly turnovers. And as we all know in NBA playoff basketball, especially at the finals level, those just typically come back to haunt you. I mean, just look at the way they were able to win Game 5, but that backcourt violation was just astonishing that happened, you know, in that final minute. And then, you know, you compound that with a Cousins offensive foul. I mean, those are just two boneheaded plays right there by a really, really smart franchise that plays the game so beautifully. So that, to me, has been a little uncharacteristic, and it's why I still think Toronto closes this out at either 6 or 7.
KC, obviously the draft is a week from tomorrow, and we're hearing all sorts of different ideas. You know, could the Bulls end up with Coby White? I've seen that in a lot of projections. DeAndre Hunter, I've seen. Doesn't seem to be any way Darius Garland falls to him. What about this idea that they'd be a third team in some kind of trade and wind up with Lonzo Ball or someone of that ilk?
Well, I absolutely think that if Anthony Davis has moved between now and Thursday, you know, I don't see a match straight up between either the Knicks or the Lakers with the Pelicans. So if it is one of those teams, I'm almost certain a third team is going to need to be involved. Whether that's the Bulls or somebody else, I can't tell you. What I would tell you is that I would be fairly confident that the Bulls would be in on those talks. Whether they can consummate a deal where they get Ball here in Chicago, I don't know. I do know that the Bulls are intrigued by Ball because, you know, he's a pass-first, big positional-sized guard who fits the timeline of the rebuild. And he's, you know, whenever John Paxson spoke up of the point guard position last year, he never said this directly. He said a lot directly about the position, but what he didn't say directly to me was almost implied. They need somebody who sees the court and who is a facilitator for their main scorers. To me, that's as simple as it gets. And they pretty much identified that Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen and now Otto Porter are going to be those three main scorers. And Chris Dunn, to me, while certainly an effective player in stretches, is better when he's in scoring and attack mode. He's not a traditional facilitator. Lonzo Ball is. He's a wonderful passer, sees the court incredibly well. And I'm not saying he's the be-all, end-all. I just know that that's an intriguing aspect of his game. And the fact that he's young and fits the timeline of the rebuild wouldn't hurt either. Hmm. So if Anthony Davis is dealt between now and next Thursday, again, I just don't see a path for either the Lakers or the Knicks to do so directly. I just don't think they have the asset, the players that are the assets that the Pelicans seek solely. So I think you'd have to see a third team get in on that deal.
And White's kind of a scoring point guard, right? I mean, he wouldn't fit what you're talking about as far as being able to, maybe eventually, but
good athlete though.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a lot faster and gets out. Yes. I mean, people are comparing him to De'Aaron Fox. You know, so I do know that White is somebody that if he's on the board and the Bulls keep a pick, that certainly seems like somebody they'd probably take a chance at or a flyer on. You know, I mean, the Bulls have been incredibly quiet. You know, they have not opened up the draft workouts this year, which is a decision they sometimes do, sometimes don't.
And Jarrett Culver was there yesterday?
He was there. I don't know if his workout was yesterday or today. I didn't ask anybody. Sometimes guys come in the night before and then work out the next day. They have been releasing who's been working out, but it's been mostly the second-round workouts. Look, obviously they're gonna do their due diligence on all those guys, White, Culver, Hunter, Reddish, that, you know, are probably going to be there at 7. And I wouldn't be surprised if all those guys have come in to work out. But the reason I bring that up, it's not so much that I'm not reading too much into them closing the workouts, but they have been very quiet. You talk to people around the league, and the sense is that they're, and John is, you know, when he talked tonight of the draft letter, John Paxson alluded to this, that they're open to trading that pick. So I don't know if that they're going to be able to get that done, but my connection to them being quiet and from talking to people from other teams is that they'd be open to trade that pick if the right situation presented. So,
all righty, KC. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
all
KC.
Right, good talking to you guys.
You
Thanks.
Too.
That is KC Johnson from the Chicago Tribune.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.